Good morning, and the Lord is good. As always, His mercies endure forever. Oh, what a day. It's a great day to be alive. Praise God. We thank God for the breath of life, even this morning. Marvelous God, wonderful. His name is to be exalted at all times. I want to take a minute or two to praise the name of the Lord this morning before we get started. As always, we invite you to please share the room, share on Clubhouse, share with your friends by inviting them as well. And you know, let's get on the train this morning. Train is moving. Train is moving. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the beauties of holiness in the womb of the morning. We thank you because we received the dew of youth even today. Psalmist says, my soul doth, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall make, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Glory to God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt His name together. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. What a beautiful morning. And what a powerful name the name of Jesus is. And we enter into His courts this morning with praise and come into His presence with thanksgiving. A day in His presence. A day in His courts, better than 1,000. So Lord, we thank you, Lord, as you receive us this morning, because no man can come unto you except the Father draws him. And blessed is that man or woman whom the Lord chooses and causes to approach unto him. It's the Lord that chose you. The Lord is the one that chose you this morning to approach. The Lord's the one that chose me to approach. It's not because we wanted to. Philippians 2 and 13. It is the Lord that maketh us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So that we are even here today, it is the Lord. And we are so blessed to be here. You know, it's a great thing as we start out the day with the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's start our morning with Jesus. Hallelujah. There's a song that says, good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Lord. Anyone know that song? Oh, yeah. You know, it's always a good morning with the Lord. Yeah,
good morning, Jesus.
But the Lord is good all the time. Good morning,
Lord.
Yes.
I know you come from heaven
above.
The Holy Spirit is coming down. Good morning,
Jesus.
Good morning,
Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Lord. You know, little kids, their hearts are just so simple, especially when they are filled with good things from the Lord. You know, you can teach a little child that song and they'll just love the Lord. I want to say good morning to the Lord in the morning. They just love the Lord, you know. And let's be like little children, Jesus said. You know, let's be converted except we be converted and become like the little children, we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, so we are, you know, we always need that conversion process in our hearts. The moment we start to think, you know, that we got it, you know, the scripture says that, look, if any man thinks he knows something, he knows nothing yet, even as he ought to know. Ah. So how are you doing, everyone, this morning? Are you fired up? Are you ready to go? I am fired up and I am ready to go. Psalm 65 and verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied, Lord, with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Well, I'll say, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of his presence, even of the Holy Spirit's assurance with us. Yes, the Lord is good here this morning. You know, he says the Lord by strength sets fast the mountains. You know, they are guarded by his power. He stilleth the noise of the seas, even the noise of their waves and the tumult of the people. Wow. The Lord is good. You know, there is nothing, you know, anything that tried to raise up before him, the Lord will still the noise thereof. That's right. So that's going to go right in line with our room here this morning. Let's take a minute or two and help us share the room. If you haven't shared it yet on Clubhouse, please do that. Click the little share the room on Clubhouse button. The share button, and when you get there, do the share on Clubhouse. You can also share by inviting people to join the room. And then we're going to get started in just a minute. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Enter into his courts this morning with praise in your heart. You know, and let's come before his presence with thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you. And we give you praise and give you glory. Hallelujah. All right. Let's get to it. Ani, can you pray? We'll start it. Just thank the Lord for a beautiful day. Amen.
Oh, bless. Enter into the courts of our Lord God with praises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We enter into the courts of our Lord God, rejoicing, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We enter, Lord, into the courts of our Lord with praises, with rejoicing. Father, we come before you this morning and we appreciate you. We just love you. We thank you for choosing us, for counting us worthy, Lord, to be present in you, in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our age. We thank you for the midnight cry that is going out, Lord. Father, Lord, that we may wake up, Lord, trim our life, and I'm ready for the bridegroom. Lord, the bride makes herself ready, Lord, for the cry. Lord, we are crying out to you right now. And Lord, you have given us the ability. We do not do this by our own strength. Lord, say by strength that shall no man be able, Lord, to come before you. But it is by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord that has quickened us. The same Spirit that quickened Christ from the dead. Lord, has quickened our spirits, O Lord, to worship you in truth and in spirit. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. And that we are part of this move, Lord, that you have started. We pray, O Lord, that all the things we are going to do today, we want to commit into your holy hands, O Lord. I want to commit my husband, Lord, that is going to be talking and preaching from the word of God. Lord, that you will move upon him, O Lord, that his tongue will be like fire to speak the word of God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will confirm his words that is coming out of his mouth in the name of Jesus in our hearts, O Lord. Say, did the heart not burn within us, O Lord, when we hear the word of the Lord? Let it burn within our hearts, O Lord, and let it produce what is supposed to produce in our faith, Lord. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Let that word that is being spoken of in this room bring faith to us in the name of Jesus. Let the peace of God that passes all understanding, let it establish that word in our heart. Let our heart be settled, Lord, waiting, Lord, as for the coming of the Lord. Father, you promised you are going to cleanse us, Lord. You're going to wash us, Lord, as clean as snow, in the name of Jesus. Everything that any blemish, Lord, within us, you are going to take it out with your blood. Father, we commit ourselves as we listen to this word and to this ministration this morning, Lord, that it will be a blessing to us in the name of Jesus. We declare this room open and we ask you, Lord, to be the master and the chief minister in this room, to minister to us yourself in your word. Thank you, Lord. Take over, O Lord. Take over. Let the Spirit of the Lord take over this room. In Jesus' mighty name, the glory be to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for that prayer. Good morning, everyone. Sister Julia, God bless you. Sister Grace, Sister Pearl, Yolanda, Sister Alexis, everyone that's coming in the room. As we go through the room, continue to invite people and share the room, and let the blessing of God go all around. Glory to God. Well, we're going to get right to it. I have determined in my heart by the grace of God, so help me God, that we'll try to keep this room under 2 hours, you know, so people can get going, get their day, and all of that. So, you know, we'll get right to it, and we'll try to get you out of here early than usual today. And so let's go right there. The Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. You know, we have an interesting topic today. You know, interesting topic. And so this topic today is that when God is in the situation, it's not over yet. Basically, God always has one more move. That's right. Always has one more move. And that's what we're going to examine. Examine some situations in the scripture. Today's room is an encouragement room. You know, and that encouragement is supposed to go with us, carry us, give us a little boost, you know, to know that, you know, the Lord is still working. The Lord is still working. You know, so let me give a few punchlines right off the bat. The first one I already said, you know, the title, of course, is God always has one more move. But here's a punchline for today. When God is in the situation, it's not over yet. You know, so that's one punchline. And another punchline for today is God holds the trump card. That's right. You know, the trump card is in his hands. So those are two punchlines for us today. And we're going to look at some stories here in the Bible before we bring it home to our situation. No matter what situation we find ourselves in, when God is in that situation, even when the enemy has you backed against the corner, has you cornered, no place to go, no help in sight, you know, I mean, no hope, it looks like, almost, but God always has yet one more move. You know, here's another punchline for today. You know, from my background of playing chess and all that, you know, that devil can never checkmate you. You know, that means, you know, checkmate is a situation where, you know, your opponent, every move they make will put them in a check situation. Check means their most powerful instrument, which is the queen, is in danger, you know, from the opponent's next move. And you say check, they've got to move, you know. And when you say check again, and then every move that they make puts them in another check situation, that means they cannot make any move. So they are checkmated. Well, the devil can never checkmate you, you know, can never checkmate you. However, God can checkmate the devil right out of the box if he wanted to. You know, he just didn't do it, but he could have. You know, I mean, those great chess players, and I love chess, you know, when I was much younger. I haven't played now in many, many years. But those great chess players, they can come in there and make one move, checkmate the opponent, just like that, you know. And but those that are not so great, you know, the standard chess player will, you know, wait for the opponent's move. When they make a move, then they'll think for several minutes and try to look at the lay of the land and try to compute all the various moves, maybe 2-3 moves ahead, you know, and then make their move. Well, the really great ones, they can compute several moves ahead, you know, and then just make one move and put their opponent in a checkmate situation. Well, that's God. God can compute all the moves ahead, and he already did. And he can make one move, checkmate the devil. But on the other hand, devil can never do that to you. You know, you will always have one. When he's got you cornered and he says check, he can never be checkmate. Check. You know, God always has a way to pull you out of there. Glory to God. You know, he will pull you out of there. No matter how it looks like, oh, you know, you have nowhere to go. He got you cornered. But, you know, God's got always one more move. There are some stories, interesting stories to share here, and I'll share them briefly so the room won't be too long. You know, there are some people who were right there at the last moments, and it looked like, you know, it's all over. But, you know, God always pulling something out at the very, very last minute. Let's take a look at some stories. These are famous stories that we all know, but they just go along with this message. So there's hardly any one of these stories that I will share today that you do not know. You know all these stories, but they will help us to put it all together. You know, there is the story of I'm going to just give them in random order. There is the story of the widow at Zarephath in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verses 7 to 16. Elijah, you know, brook had dried up and God told him to move. And he said, look, and we spoke about this when we did divine appointments a couple weeks ago. I have prepared a widow woman there to sustain you. Well, until God said that, we know Elijah didn't know that, you know. And of course, the woman herself didn't even know anything about it, you know, yet God said that he had prepared that. But what the woman did know was when she came to the scene and she was gathering a couple of sticks, Elijah called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, you know, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee. Now, the man was very polite, you know. Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. And the woman said, as the Lord thy God liveth. Well, I don't know how she knew that this might be a man of God. As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I might go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. So that's it. End of the road for this woman in her mind. You know, this is going to be her last meal. The famine has been in the land for many years. Everything has dried up. You know, she's just going to do this last meal. She's going to bake this thing. This is all she got left. And she only had her son left. Husband died a long time ago. And so, you know, she's just going to give him this last meal. And they don't know where the next one is coming from. So they're just going to wait it out until they die. So they're cornered, you know, death staring them down in the face. But Elijah says to her, nobody is dying today. Hallelujah. Nobody is dying today. Don't worry about it. You do as you have said. You know, go bake whatever you want to bake, but make me first a little. Just bring me a little bit first. Because thus saith the Lord. And when that does say the Lord comes like that, that's God's one more move in that situation. You know, that God will now bring the word. He always has one more move. In this case, it's the final word for that situation. He'll bring it out. You know, when the enemy thought that, you know, this lady herself gave up. She lost hope. My last meal, me and my son, we're going to die. But you're not dying today, Elijah said. Because thus saith the Lord. Glory to God. And you know what Elijah said. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. Glory to God. Until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. I mean, what she thought was the end of the road for her, you know, God pulled out yet one more move to save the day. You know, God always coming in to save the day. And there are many situations like that where God has saved the day. Good morning, everyone. Welcome and good afternoon. God bless you. I see Brother Charles in the room. I see Pastor Julius, my good friend, Pastor Julius Adeyemo from Nigeria. Thank you, sir, for joining. God bless everyone of you. Thank you for joining, Brother Gbenga, as well. Man of God, God bless you. Welcome everyone to the room this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, here we go. God, one more move. One more move. You know, no matter where the devil's got you cornered, God will always have one more move. And devil, in this case, could not kill that woman and her son with death. You know, the Lord moved in to save the day. God had a 2-for-1 plan. Not only save Elijah's life, you know, after the brook dried up, he said, God said, I have prepared a widow woman there to sustain you. Glory to God. You should listen to the message on divine appointments. Find it in the replay somewhere. So anyway, that's how God saved the day in this case. You know, there's a even awkward story here. You know, that I'm going to tell. I have about 8 or 9 of these stories. I don't know how many of them I can tell today, but I'll try to go through them very quickly. You know, there's a very awkward story here in the life of Samson. You know, and let's take a look at that from, you know, the book of Judges, you know. So in the book of Judges, we see the story of Samson, right? In chapter 16, we look at verses 15 to 30, you know. I say awkward story because, you know, the woman, I mean, you know, the story, Delilah, and Samson and all that. the woman treat him, you know, until he lost, gave his secret to her. And she shaved his head finally. He tricked her multiple times and told her something else. And every time they tried that, it come upon him, you know, and so forth. And he would bestir himself, and the spirit of love come upon him again. And we just, whether they bound him with fetters or anything, he would just cut those things loose, you know, and just, you know, he'd stir himself up, you know. But, you know, this one time, you know, the Delilah found a way to get to him after bugging him so many times and said, look, but you say you love me, this and that and all and so on. You know the story. So anyway, when she finally found the real strength, the real source of his strength was his hair, you know, and the 7 locks of his head, you know, and then she cut off his hair, and then she began to afflict him. I mean, can you imagine? And his strength went away from him, we're told. So the Philistines came upon him, and Samson awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as other times, shake myself. But he wished not that the Lord had departed from him. Wow. You know, there's a story, there's a lesson even in that alone. In another place, it's called Ichabod. The glory of the Lord has departed. You know, it's like the church today. You know, which is, you know, the church is trying to stir itself, but there is nothing there because the church has not followed with its whole heart the way of the Lord. Follow the ways of the world, and then there is really nothing going on. I'm talking of church in general. I'm not talking about any particular local assembly, you know, but the glory has departed. Samson didn't know it. So, of course, they took him and, you know, really, you know, did a number on him, you know, and they did everything they could to him. Now, it came to pass, you know, that, you know, they brought him into the Colosseum and they said, you know, do some sport for us, you know, took out his eyes even, and they just did everything to him, you know, and, you know, that's why I say it's kind of a awkward story, you know, but when he came into that Colosseum, you know, and they had everybody in there, you know, making mockery of him, because this was the man that had made, I mean, spoiled them from pillar to post, from one end to the other. He had spoiled them. He had broken them, 1,000 of them at one time, 100 of them, and this and all that. So they were glad to see him, you know, wasted like that. And the man was just staggering around. He had nothing. His strength was gone and everything. Well, but God will have one more move. Always one more move, no matter how bad that situation. In this case, Samson was so bad. That was a secret he never should have told Delilah, but he did. And look at where he found himself, you know. And now they took out his eyes. I mean, he's bleeding all over. He's stumbling all over the place and making mockery of him and so forth. And he finally said, oh, Lord God, remember me. Judges chapter 16 and verse 28. Oh, Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, just one more time, Lord. Glory to God. One more time. Strengthen me. Hallelujah. Oh, God, that I may be at once avenged of these Philistines for my 2 eyes. And he said, and God answered him. And he said, look, just, you know, show me, I just want to lean against the pillar here. And those load-bearing columns, they were just laughing at him and said, yeah, lean all you want. So he leaned against those pillars and said, oh, Lord, my God, one more time. Glory to God. And the spirit of God came upon him, one more move. Oh, my goodness. And when he did, he bent down like that. He just pulled on those pillars. The Holy Spirit came upon him like that. My goodness, his flex, his muscles flex like at old times. You know, remind me when I used to, I was a kid, used to watch all these Marvel comics and things like that. The Incredible Hulk, he will just walk up like that. And he just did, and he pulled that thing down. He pulled the whole thing down. The whole Colosseum came down. My goodness. And the Bible says that, you know, he slew more at his death than in his entire life. He got himself some and then more on those Philistines. One last time, Holy Ghost moved upon him. So that's why I call it a kind of awkward story. But God got him some vengeance there, and he got the victory at the end over all of those Philistines, to them all at once. God always having one more move when it looks like, you know, devil's got you pinned down. Hezekiah versus Sennacherib. You know, chapters Isaiah 36 and 37. We're not going to read the whole chapters. We're just going to talk through the story. You know, so Sennacherib, of course, came, you know, sent messages and everything, and he began to chide all the people and said, look, don't let Hezekiah tell you to trust in the Lord, you know. And Hezekiah that you are trusting in, this is the same Hezekiah that has cut down the groves and taken down the high places and so forth. So why should you trust in him? And don't even think that I came here without the Lord. So the devil tempting them. Say, the Lord sent me here to come and, you know, you know, to come and talk to you and disgrace you here. You know, and the people say, oh no, please don't speak to us in the Hebrew language. We don't want everybody to hear it. Tell us in your own language because we understand. He said, no. You know, and he began to deride them and so, so forth. And he said, look, you know, you think I'm come here without the Lord? I come here to make you drink your own piss. Finally, so when word get to, and he said, look, all the nations of the world that thought they were this and trusted in the arm of Egypt or this and that, we have slain all of them, we cast all their gods into the fire and everything. And it will be nothing better for any of you than the rest of them. And so don't lean upon this Hezekiah or anything. You know, so they better, you know. So anyway, they went and told Hezekiah the story. And my goodness, you know, and Hezekiah went to the Lord. And I love the way that Hezekiah prayed, you know. And, you know, this is, and I've, you know, I taught one room like that or somewhere. And I said, look, if make it God's fight. When you make it God's fight, my goodness, God will stand up, you know, and he will fight for you. Because he's fighting for his name. Because you know how to turn it to make it God's fight. Where are the gods of all those lands? You know, those that thought they could come out against us. Have we not delivered? I mean, have we not killed all of them? You know, and were they able to deliver any of them themselves out of my hands, you know? And he just, you know, I mean, he just messed them up like that. So when Hezekiah heard it, he rent his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went to the house of the Lord. And he said, Eliakim, who was householder, keeper, Shebna the priest, and everybody, you know, to Isaiah the prophet. And he said, look, today is a day of trouble. It's a day of rebuke and a day of blasphemy and all that. Children that come to the birth, there is no strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of this Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God. You know, now, that's a secret right there. You know, he's saying, he didn't say that he has come to reproach us or to embarrass us. You know, he's taking this fight in the spiritual. He said, look, this man has come to reproach the living God, you know, and let God, you know, if God has heard his words, you know, let God reprove his words. And if there is a prayer for the remnant, pray, lift up your voice for us and pray. So, you know, they sent, you know, and Isaiah, he sent comfortable words, you know, and so forth. You know, gave a prophecy. Don't worry about it. The Lord will, you know, fight for you. You know, so, you know, and Hezekiah you know, when he read the letter that the, you know, the Sennacherib and all of that wrote to him, he said, look, turn yourself over. You know, you have one last chance. So Hezekiah prayed and said to God, he said, O Lord of hosts, this is Isaiah 37 verse 16. Thou that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Now these people know how to get God excited. You know, incline thine ear. Remember, he was great, 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 great grandson of David. They know how to pray. David, Asa, Jehoshaphat, you know, Hezekiah. They all know how to get God excited. You know. So anyway, Asa, I meant to say. And incline thy ear, O Lord, and open thine eyes, and see and hear the words of this Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. You know, he said, look, of a truth, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods. He told them. They were the works of men's hands, even the rebellious acts of their minds. You know, create, I mean, that's what all these things are. People just want to rebel against the Lord and create works of their hands. You know, and he said, you know, they have destroyed them because they were no gods. And he said, look, now therefore, O Lord our God, you know, save us. Remember, he told him at the beginning that thou art that God, that very God, and there is none like you. Jehoshaphat, he prayed the same kind of prayer. These people know how to pray. You know, Asa, all of them, they know how to pray these prayers. You know, and he said, look, but this is the secret of what he said. Save us out of his hand. He didn't say, you know, that we may not be destroyed. He didn't say, save us out of his hand. You know, that, you know, this shame and this disgrace may be overpassed. You know, save us out of his hand that the people may know, you know, whatever, you know, about us. No, he didn't say any of that. Listen to what he said in Isaiah 37 and verse 20. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Now, when you make, when you put God in that kind of position, that you make the fight, the current conflict, the present conflict, you make it about God's fight, about him redeeming his name and getting him some renown and getting him some glory, then I bet you he will stand up and he will fight for himself. Because this is not about, you know, oh Lord, you know, save us that we not perish. No, it's, oh Lord, save us so that the people may know that there is no God like you. Now that's the kind of prayer that moves God. So when he did that, my goodness, you know, as the story went, in one night, the angel of the Lord, 185,000 of those people slew them all, you know, and it was amazing. David, of course, his great-great-great-grandfather, you know, had, you know, said similar things, you know, when he came up against Goliath. And so you see how God had one more move here in the case of Hezekiah. He was back to the corner, but the angel of the Lord, he came, and the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord went forth. God said, look, I will defend this city and save it for my own name's sake and for David, your father's sake. That's right. You know, one time I preached on generational blessings, you know, because we heard a lot about these generational curses. You know, but I don't care about that one. I care more about generational blessings. This one here was a generational blessing too, because of David, your father. And for David's sake, I will save this city. Glory to God. David was his great, great grandfather, you know, many generations ahead of him. But anyway, you know, the Lord said, you know, he sent an angel of the Lord. Verse 36 of Isaiah 7:37. The angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of Assyrians in one night, 185,000. My goodness. And when they arose in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Dead corpses. My goodness. You know, one more move. When the enemy thought they had them cornered, God said, no, I will fight for my own name. You know, and if you know how to do that, you get him to do that. That's what David did against Goliath. You know, David said, look, everybody said, this man has come to defy the armies of Israel. David said, no, this man has come to defy the armies of the living God. You know, so when you approach it like that in the spiritual, you know, and he said, look, I'm going to put this uncircumcised Philistine in his place today. Glory to God. And then God stood up, you know, this man made mockery of them all day long. You know, but David said, look, you know, we're going to put an end to this right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. And David knew his stuff, you know, and David, he said, look, I'm going to go back to what I know from the Lord. They put an armor on him and everything. He said, no, forget that. I've not tried that. I can't do it. He went back to his comfort zone. He knew, you know, what that place by the river, you know, where he always said, look, the Lord is with me, leadeth me beside the still waters. He knew that place. He just went there again and picked out 5 stones. That's all he needed, you know. And as he was going, he was thinking in his heart, Lord God, my God Almighty, you that delivered the lion, you know, back into my hand, got my thing out of him, got the bear and all of that. I'm going to get this Philistine today. I'm going to show the people that the Lord, he is God. And so one more move, the Lord pulled it out. You know, this big giant that terrorized everybody, the little boy, 17-year-old or so, ruddy little fella, came up against Goliath like that. Because God will always have one more move. Just listen to the words of Goliath. He said, look, I mean, are you not an army? I mean, are you guys not, you know, skilled? Just send me somebody. You know, we don't need everybody to play. You know, send me somebody. You know, he and I, let's do it. You know, if he can destroy me, then you guys got the victory. But if I destroy him, you know, then we got the victory. You know, and then you become our slaves. Because he knew he was a champion and he towered over everybody. You know, his spear alone weighed so many pounds and things like that. You know, somebody even carried it for him and everything. You know, so, but David, he went in the strength of the Lord. And he went in a spiritual angle, whereas everybody was saying, you have come to defy the armies of Israel. David said, you man has come to despise the armies of the living God. You know, so when you put God like that in that position, he will fight for himself. You know, and David, he got one more move against that Goliath. He did too. And he got the victory. You know, many more stories here of how, you know, these people get the victory over, they get the victory over their enemies. Let me give you a few more stories quickly here, you know, and, you know, there's a story of the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings. You know, you may know the story of this woman, 2 Kings chapter 4. And this woman had been kind to Elisha, you know, many times, you know, in the past and so on and so forth, you know. And, but this time around, he said, you know, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest how that thy servant did fear the Lord, the creditor, and all that, and so forth, you know. And he said, look, he said, what do you have in your house? You know, and he said, well, I've got nothing but, you know, nothing but a, you know, just a few things in the house. You know, the bondmen have come to take my sons. Now, this was not the Shunammite woman. I'm getting my story mixed up. This was before the Shunammite woman. You know, the Lord just cautioned me on that. But this was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets, you know, that said to Elisha, he said, look, my servant, your servant, my husband is dead. The creditors have come to take my sons away and all that. And he said, well, what shall I do for you? And she said, well, you know, I have nothing left in the house. My sons are going to be taken away to pay for it. you know, and so forth. So this woman, she's down to, I mean, hopeless. She's about to lose her kids. You know, they're going to take them away, you know, pawn them into slavery just to pay for all the debt. You know, since her husband died, the debt just kept piling up. She couldn't pay, you know, and, but she cried unto the Lord, you know, and it seemed like if, you know, she was at her wit's end, you know, but the man of God gave her the way out. God, again, by the word of the Lord, came to the rescue, you know, came to the rescue and said, look, today, here's what you're going to do. Nobody, you're not losing your son. Not today. You're not losing any of your sons. You go borrow some vessels, bring them in and pour that pot of oil. And when one vessel is full, put it aside and get another. And she did. She borrowed of all her neighbors many, many vessels. And then she said to her sons, bring me yet another vessel. She poured. Bring me yet another vessel. She poured. And finally, no more vessels. And then the oil stayed. Now, I tell you what, if there were vessels more, the oil would have continued till this day. You know, but when the oil, when there was no more vessel, then the oil stayed. And Sequeman told the man of God, said, wow, you know, all of this stuff, you know, what, you know, it was just amazing. Well, I said, go sell it, pay your debt and leave off the rest. You know, God pulled out another, you know, saving move for somebody who was, you know, about to lose, you know, to lose their, you know, to lose their life and everything, you know. So the story of the Shunammite woman is next after that, but I'm not going to tell that one. This was, we don't know who this woman was. They just said a certain woman, you know. So now there were the story of the four lepers in 2 Kings chapter 7. Verses 3 to 10. These lepers were going to die. You know, but Elijah had prophesied, you know, some incredible thing. We spoke about this in this room a couple weeks ago. You know, but, you know, they said, look, if we stay here, we die. They were condemned outside the city anyway, being lepers. If we stay here, we die. If we go back in the city, we're going to die. But there's famine there. Well, we can take a chance and fall to the camp of the Syrians and see if they save us alive or not. You know, and so they did. You know, but everybody was in a straitjacket then. You know, they had cut up, you know, the Syrians had cut off the water supply and everything and so forth. You know, and the famine in the city and everybody was dying. But Elisha, the man of God, he pulled out another, thus saith the Lord. And said, well, thus saith the Lord, by this time tomorrow, you know, there's going to be such abundance that you won't even know, you know, I mean, things have to be so, so cheap. Because you know the story. The one, the chief of army staff that did not believe it. If God can open the windows of heaven, this will not be. He said, well, you know, you said that, but God will do it, but you will not taste of it. So as the story went, these four lepers, when they fell to the camp of the Syrians, God had magnified their footsteps to make them look like thousands of chariots are coming. And they fled and they went there, spoiled everything. And they went and told the king and all that. And you know the story. But, you know, the city was up in distress. You know, there was nowhere to turn. You know, the plan of the Syrians was, we're going to camp out here until you guys starve to death. You know, you either surrender or that's what it's going to be. But God had one more move. Always one more move. Even to save the life, not only of the lepers, but also of everybody on the other side of the gate, which are the children of Judah. Now, God also was going to fulfill the words of Elisha, his prophet, you know, and it came to pass, just like he said it. You know, God always having one more move. There is the story of Peter in prison, Acts chapter 12, you know, verses 1 through 10. When Herod had thought he took a hold of James and killed him, And, you know, he saw that everybody was happy for that. He said, well, I'm going to do the same to Peter. So he took a hold of Peter, cast him into prison, supposing to bring him out at the feast and to kill him as well. But in the meantime, the church got together and they began to pray. See, the one that happened to James caught them by surprise. You know, this is, again, the power of prayer. You know, before the church could get together in the case of James, you know, Herod already killed him. And they didn't know about it, you know. And so this time around, they said, well, you know, they had an opportunity because Herod delayed to kill Peter. So the church had an opportunity to pray. And there is power in corporate prayer. And when they began to pray like that, you know, praying, the angel of the Lord alighted upon Peter in the middle of the night, broke his chains and broke him out of jail. Because the, you know, Peter was up against the corner. Herod was going to bring him out the next day to kill him. You know, and it was just like, you know, my goodness, you know, it's over. But the church prayed all night. And when they prayed all night, the Lord sent his angel. And he swooped in to save the day, as only he can do. You know, God always saving the day. If I have time at the end, I'll tell you a personal testimony like that in real life. Something similar, but not right now. Let me move on. Now, there was the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel chapter 6. You can read verses 10 to 28. You know, the enemy had him where he thought he wanted him. In the lion's den. God always having one more move. One more move. Of course, he was in there, not because he did any evil, but the people, you know, conspired against him. Look, we'll never find anything wrong against this man because he's upright in the integrity of his heart and everything, except in the matter of his God. So let's find something that's going to, you know, we know he's not going to compromise. And let's make the king set a law that will be contrary to that. So that's the only way we're going to get him. So anyway, when he was in that lion's den, and all his enemies thought, yeah, we got you now. When they threw him down in there, you know, and it used to be that when they throw somebody in that lion's den, even before they get to the bottom of the den, the lions would have mastery of them and tear them up because they kept those lions hungry. They didn't feed them. So when they throw anybody in there, my goodness, he's a goner. And they threw Daniel in that lion's den and thought, well, it's over. But the angel of the Lord was there. God always having yet one more move. No matter how the enemy got you cornered, the angel of the Lord came there and said, shh, to all the lions. And he just smote them with quietness. You know, they laid down. Daniel said, you know, lay down over here. This big lion with his big mane was his pillow all night long. My goodness. And God pulled him out of there. Always the Lord. One more move when the enemy got you covered. And when God is with you in the situation, it's never over yet. So that's our punchline for today. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, Daniel chapter 3, verses 13 to about 30. You know the story. They wouldn't bow down to the image Nebuchadnezzar set up. And they wouldn't dance to his music and all of that. And so the man got furious. One last chance. Will you do it? At the penalty of death. They said no. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us. Hallelujah. End of story. But even if he chooses not to, for whatever reason best known to him, we still will not bow. But we know he is able and he will deliver us. You know, that's some faith. I call it fairy funnies faith. they knew that God was going to deliver. Not only God was able, but that he will deliver. But they said, well, you know, God is sovereign. If he chooses not to do that, that's fine. But we know he's able. So every situation when you got yourself backed up in the corner, you must do and say the same thing in your heart. You must say, I know that my God is able. That part is non-negotiable. It's a non-negotiable declaration of your faith. My God is able and he will. Not only is he able, but he will. You know, one man came to Jesus, and some men came to Jesus. If thou wilt, that can, you know, open our eyes. If thou wilt, that can make us. So Jesus said, I will. You know, so not only do we know that God, not only must we declare that God is able, we need to also know that God is going to. And so, you know, and it heated up. The man got so furious because he said, look, it's not something for us to go and consider. You know, we are not going to do it. The man got so furious, heated up the thing 7 times, throw them in there. And then, you know, the fury of the flame slew all of the people that were throwing them in there. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar himself, at a safe distance, you know, watching, you know. And the next thing he knows, wow, everybody that threw them in there burned to ashes. But these guys thrown in there bound, you know, they are loose, walking around. 3 of them, and now he sees a 4th person. He said, my goodness. Did we not throw 3 men bound into the fire? How come now I see 4 men loose walking around without any hurt? And the 4th man looking like the son of God. Who told him that? You know. So God, one more move to pull them out of the fire. Even when he thought like, look, they had nowhere else to go. I mean, in the fire. My goodness. Here's a man, 38 years. You know, John chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. Man in the infirmity, with the infirmity coming every one of those times. We don't know how many times the angel of the Lord came and steered that pool. And he tried to get in there. You know, he couldn't. But it seemed as if, well, but he kept coming though. You know, that's a lesson there. He kept coming, he kept believing, but every time, so close, but nothing. Because he got so close, but nothing. Because of his condition, somebody always got in ahead of him. Somebody else. And he couldn't move fast enough. And you cannot get into the water too soon. If you get in too soon, it didn't work. If you get in too late, it didn't work. You had to wait just for the right moment. And at the steering of the pool, by the angel of the Lord, whosoever first got in after the water was steered, they were healed of whatever sickness they had. So this man, he was there. He's like, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know, you know. I mean, he camp out there. People camp out waiting. They just camp out, you know, all the time. You know, kind of like people camp, you know, used to camp out, you know, for this Black Friday sales. They camp out all night long waiting for the stores to open. These people would camp out. They knew a certain time, but they didn't know exact day. So they would just camp out waiting. You know, everybody, you know, waiting to, you know, one that here they standing at that pool. Everybody rush, you know, everybody pull everybody out of the way. Whoever gets in there first, only one person. My goodness. And so this man is like, well, I don't know. I'm going to keep trying. Maybe someday, you know. So Jesus comes upon the scene to save that day. Whew, glory to God. Will thou be made whole? Knowing this man's condition. That he had been in that place and that situation for so long. And the man said, well, I don't know what kind of question is there. Well, I'm here, you know, trying to get in this water. But I cannot. I'm too slow. You know, because I'm lame on my feet and everything. You know, and if somebody always gets in on my, you know, ahead of me. And Jesus said, today, it's not about the angel and it's not about the water. Forget the angel. And forget the water. I'm right here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's another lesson for us. There's lessons in each one of these little stories. It's not just the lesson of healing. you know, we just read the healing and we move on. But there are salient lessons inside all these stories. One lesson to learn is this man said, I have no man to help me. You know, people are always thinking and looking for somebody's help. God is your help, and vain is the help of man. And, you know, say, oh, nobody to help me. You know, I'm looking for this. I'm looking for that. I don't have help. You know, especially in the country where I come from, people always talk like that. You know, there's nobody to help me get a job. There's nobody to do this and that and so forth. You know, nobody is going to help you. You know, God is your help, you know. And, you know, people are always looking at a certain place for their miracle. They're always thinking that this is how my help is going to come. That's another lesson in that story. You know, you don't know how your help is going to come. You know, sometimes we're so, you know, tunnel vision, focusing to, you know, just focusing, laser focus on just the one thing and think that that's how God is going to do it, because that's how he's done it before. No, you know, he may have done it before like that, but God has a different move every time that he can pull out, you know. And so this man also thinking that the only way I can get healed is if I'm the first to get into that water after the angel moves the water. And that's not going to happen in his condition. It's not going to happen because he's too slow. But, you know, so that's a lesson for us there. Don't box God into one way that your miracle is going to come. God can do it any which way he wants. Keep your eyes on him. Glory to God. You know, so we see that. And, you know, we've also heard the story of Jehoshaphat, you know, in 2 Chronicles 20 and all the three armies that came against him and all that. You know, we told this story just yesterday. And even at our local service, somebody else told the same story. You know, so when they were backed to the corner, and it seemed like there was no place to go, three armies that were greater than them. And this man, Jehoshaphat, prayed the same kind of prayer that Hezekiah prayed. They all knew how to pray that prayer to make God know that God is the one. He said, Lord, you are the God, even thee alone, of all the kingdoms of the world. We have no power against these people, but our eyes are upon you. And that's the beginning of your miracle right there. You put your eyes on the Lord. You know, never mind. Don't consider how terrible the situation is. You know, that there is no way out. There is no way out. Devil's got you cornered in. But you keep your eyes on the Lord, because the Lord can save with few or with many. It makes the Lord no difference at all. You know, so the Lord set ambushments against their enemies in that case. You know the story. You know, when it seemed as if they, you know, they were going to be destroyed, they were outnumbered. You know, one army alone outnumbered them about two or three times, let alone three of them combined. You know, and then God, you know, gave them tremendous victory. They stood still. The word of the Lord came to them, say, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, God always having one more move. When the enemy thinks he got you cornered. You know, how about the story of Mordecai versus Haman? You know, Esther chapter 6, verses 1 to 12. You know, after Haman was plotting not only to kill Mordecai, because Mordecai wouldn't do him obeisance, you know, he plotted to kill all the Jews as well. But God, you know, and he got everything all planned. You know, he had all just waiting for the signature of the king to carry out the massive slaughter of the Jews, beginning with Mordecai, you know, whom he had built gallows for in his house. You know the story, you know. But God, knowing that, look, you know, God is going to preserve these people, you know, and you're not going to destroy them. No. You know, God, that the night before, sent the angel of the Lord to trouble that king so that he could not sleep. You know, and when he couldn't sleep, he said, well, bring me the chronicles. Let me read something here. I brought all the journals to him, and he found the place where it was written. Now, God's the one that's directing all those things, you know, so that God may do something, pull out one more move. First, the angel of the Lord troubled him so he couldn't sleep. Next, you know, God put it in his mind to do something, you know, read something, read the writings that they had chronicled. And then when they brought it to him, he found a place where Mordecai had saved the king from insurrection or assassination attempt twice. And he said, what was done for this man? He said, nothing. He said, oh, wow, we got to do something. Who is in that courthouse? At that very moment, you know, we spoke about this also when we did divine appointments. At that very moment, Haman was in the courthouse. And as you know the story, Haman came in there for something else. Came in there to get his final instructions, you know, decree from the king to destroy all the Jews. God has one more move. God has a different thought. Hallelujah. You're not going to wipe out the children of God. No. And God set and turned the tables around. And this same Mordecai that planned to destroy them was the very one that served up. He served up that blessing upon, I mean, this same Haman that was planning to destroy them was the very one that served up the blessing upon Mordecai. You know, because when the king said, well, the king wants to honor somebody, and what should we do for them? He thinking that, well, who else will it be but me? Because the king had recently promoted him, the queen, everybody, setting him up. You know, he said, well, you know, do this, you know, put the ring on his finger, take your royal, you know, garment, put it on him, your royal chariot, give it to him, proclaim him through the city. I mean, he just piled up all kinds of blessings, you know, which he thought was coming to him. And the king said, all right, well, that's good. You go do exactly that. Make sure you do not diminish aught from everything you said and do it to Mordecai. Oh, my goodness. And the scripture says, look, if Mordecai be of the Jews before whom you have now begin to fall, you will not prevail against him. His friends told him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, and if you be a child of God, you know, that devil will never prevail against you. He can never checkmate you. No matter what is going on, God will have one more move. And God had one more move there. You know, my goodness. You know, listen to Moses' story. You know, and Daniel, I mean, Exodus chapter 14. You know the story too. You know, Pharaoh had them cornered. And I was like, look, your God is a poor general. I mean, you have nowhere to go now. You're backed against the sea. I'm coming to get you. I got you right where I want you. Yes, that's what he thought. But God will have one more move. God always holds that trump card. And when God is with you in this situation, it is not over yet. No matter how bleak it looks, no matter how, you know, horrible the situation looks, God has one more move up his sleeves that he will pull you out of that situation. And the devil can never put you in a checkmate situation where you have no more moves left. No, not with God with you in that situation. So Moses at the Red Sea, we talked about this a few days ago. We talked about your Red Sea moments. And they had theirs there, right there. And God pulled out one more move, one of the most incredible miracles we've seen in that Bible. You know, the Red Sea piled up heaps upon either side for the ransom of the Lord to walk through on dry land. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The witch, the Egyptians, Pharaoh and his troops are saying to do were destroyed, you know, because God suckered them in after he removed the pillar of fire. He led them chasing after, and when they got right in the middle of the Red Sea with nowhere to go, because Israel already clean passed over, the angel of the Lord made sure of that through the pillar of fire, which the chariots could not get through. And then God poured that whole water come crashing down on them. stretch your hand over against the sea one more time. And Moses brought all that thing down, crumbling upon them, and they were destroyed. For the word of the Lord had said it before that. The Egyptians which you see today, you will see them no more hereafter. I mean, story after story after story. What about Joseph, finally. Let me just throw this last one. I have about 3 or 4 more, but I'll stop with this one. Joseph, finally, or maybe one more. You know, Joseph, finally, everything they threw against him, could not prevent the purpose of God from his life. God always has one move to save the day. When they first wanted to kill him, God raised up a destiny helper even among his would-be destiny destroyers. And he said, let's kill him. Just put him over here. Because he was thinking in his heart that he would come and deliver him later. But he couldn't do it. They sold him into slavery. And when things get worse and worse and worse, and when it seemed as if, he would languish forever in that prison, the baker finally remembered him after 2 years. And he said, I know my fault this day, and so on and so forth. And when they brought him forth, my goodness, this was somebody that was in prison just an hour ago for a crime he did not commit, and it seemed like there was no hope, no way out of that place. But God has a different thought in his head. The word of the Lord might come to pass, which he had given him by dream many, many, many years ago. Now he's in this situation up against, rotting in prison forever. But he had to go to that prison in order to be set up for this situation before Pharaoh. And God had one more move. And when he gave that interpretation of the dream, followed by wise counsel of what to do, the man said, I am Pharaoh, and you are Joseph. And there is not anyone that's going to lift a finger in this place. And with that move, God saved their world and Joseph's family, who were dying already of the famine. God had one more move to save the day. Well, I said I was going to be the last, but I remember I can't do a story like this without talking of Jesus himself, the master. Yeah. Praise God. For if the princes of this world had known, they would not have slain and crucified the Lord of glory. Well, it was in God's predeterminate counsel. And so when that devil had him up upon that cross, my goodness, God had one more move for one man whose redemption was almost too late. He was already condemned. Two thieves crucified on either side of the Lord, one chiding him and saying, look, if you be the Son of God, save yourself and save us too. The other one saying, look, you're not even scared to say that. I mean, we are in this boat because of what we've done. But this man is innocent. He's not done anything. And they look to him and say, Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon me. Remember me when I come into thy kingdom. And I taught a room on this clubhouse. You should listen to it. Powerful room. Grace when you are condemned. Redemption when it seems far too late. This was a man that it was far too late. The great story was the story of the woman in John chapter 8 that was taken out of adultery and they were about to stone her to death. And Jesus pulled one move out of nowhere that saved that woman's life. And now Jesus is going to pull yet another move. A move of redemption. Somebody already condemned to die. That's already on the cross dying. He's with his last breath reaching out to the Lord. and Jesus pulling one more move to save that man from hell. Oh my goodness. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Oh my goodness. What a story. And of course, you know, the devil having Jesus up there say, aha, we got you now, finally. You know, but little did they know the devil and all his cohorts, that Jesus is coming down in there and going to whoop them from pillar to post and get the keys of hell and death. Glory to God. Triumphed over everything. Took all the handwriting of ordinances and nailed it to the cross. And man, when they put him in that grave, when they rolled the stone, and they said, look, secure it fast. You know, we don't want his disciples to come and steal his body and say he has risen. But this man said he will rise. Secure it fast. Set legions of angels, guards around the place. Make sure nobody come to that grave. Ah, my goodness. When they thought they got him right where they wanted him. God! One more move, which was preordained by the predeterminate counsel of God. You know, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. The angel of the Lord came himself, put a deep sleep on all the guards, rolled out the stone, and Jesus blasted out of that grave. My goodness. Ooh. Now he's seated on the right hand of power. From henceforth expecting until all his enemies be made his footstool. Now, what is your situation? We've told enough stories. What is your situation today? Whatever situation you're up against, those who are listening now, those who may listen, those who are in the room now, those who may be listening to the replay, whatever situation you're up against, God always has one more move to save the day. He holds the trump card, and he will never let the devil checkmate you. There's always one more move for him to do. And when he's in that situation with you, it's not over yet. Not even for Lazarus. I was in the grave 4 days. Began to stink. Already his sister said, Jesus pulled him out of there. My goodness. What is your situation? Look unto the Lord. Let your eyes be upon him today. Hallelujah. I'm going to say a quick prayer. Then I'm going to turn it over for reactions and comments. And then we're going to close this room at the top of the hour. So if you have something to say, be ready to come and let's do it quickly. And we'll close this room at the top of the hour. But right now, I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, your word has gone forth. And your word is like a hammer, indeed, like a sledgehammer. It's a crack through all the mountains and different, you know, unbeliefs and various things that stage themselves against us. And let that faith rise in the heart of the people today to know that it's not over yet. Hallelujah. It's not over yet. When the enemy is taunting you to say, well, you know, it's over. God said, no, it's not over yet. I got one more move. He always has one more move to pull you out. No matter what the situation is, he will always have that one more move. He has the last word. It's called an ace up his sleeve. It's like a trump card that he's waiting to use just at the right moment, you know. And when all the chips are down, he'll pull that out. Glory to God. And he will save that day for you. And so put your eyes upon him. Turn over whatever situation is. And we all have the situation. What is your own Red Sea moment right now? What is it? Is it your last meal? You know, some people say, well, it's our last meal. I'm going to gather 2 sticks and die. The word of the Lord said, you are not dying today. Nobody is dying today. Glory to God. One man said, look, I don't have anyone to help me. You know, every time, you know, I fall short. Jesus said, forget the man that can help or not help you. Forget the angel and forget the water. Today is your day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So God always having one more move for you. And if that's you, I want you to put it in the chat room and, you know, say an amen there and say what it is, the move that you want God to pull for you. And I'm going to declare the word of God over anything that anyone writes in that room that's according to this message today. In the name of Jesus, whatever the situation that you are backed up against, whatever the gloating of the enemy against you, whatever the tongue that has said, aha, aha, and the tokens of liars against you. Today, I bring you the word of encouragement and the word of hope that God is with you. And so it's not over yet. And he has one more move that he'll pull out. They pulled out his eyes. They did everything. They mocked him around that Colosseum. And he said, touch me one more time, oh Lord. Oh, touch me one more time, oh Lord. Jesus, I need your power. Touch me one more time. Touch me one more time. Touch me one more time. Oh Lord. And when he pulled on those pillars, the whole Colosseum came crashing down. One more move against the enemy. Even when his eyes were plucked out and all his strength was gone. So Father, Lord, thy people have cried unto you today. And I've cried on their behalf in the name of Jesus. One more move, Lord, to save the day. One more move to save the day. One more move to save the day. Glory to God. One more move to save the day. You know, I want some of you to come to the stage and give your reaction. Glory to God. I'm sending invites to several people that I see in the audience. And if you get an invite and you want to come, please do that. If you don't, but you would rather just paste something in the chat room, that's fine also. You know, just come, you know, but come. Let's hear your reaction. Come and make your declaration that God has yet one more move for you. Whatever your situation is, you know, no matter how bad it has been, God will never let the devil checkmate you. He cannot do it. You know, he cannot do it. Glory to God. So, use the little hand raising button. You know, I've sent some people some invites and people are saying they can't come. So, okay. Whoever wants to come, raise the hand. Use the little hand raising button at the corner, lower right corner of your screen, and we'll bring you to the stage to share your own declaration of faith. How that God is in your corner. How that you know it. That God is in your corner and he will have one more move. No matter how close it gets, no matter how it looks that its things are so far gone that there is no redemption. That thief on the cross, already finished, condemned and dying, his last breath, God pulled him out of there. Ooh, glory to God. Always the master of redemption. Redemption, when it seems far too late. It's never too late with God. He can pull out one more move. Glory to God. I want to hear your reaction. I want to hear your testimonies. Welcome, everyone. Let me just quickly acknowledge everyone that I see. First on the stage, my lovely wife, Lady Evelyn, is there. Thank you for always being there. Sister Pearl, God bless you. Pastor Julius, Sister Julia, God bless you. Sister Grace, Sister Maggie. Brother Kyle, Sister Lola, Brother Charles, Brother Gbenga, Sister Chioma, Sister Alexis, and Sister Samantha. Samantha, all of you, we thank you for being here. You know, we want you to make your declaration of what God has done for you. I'm going to start with Lady Ebon. You go first. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much again for this powerful morning. Thank God again. I really appreciate this room and the vision of this room. you know, to bring down, you know, to help the people to build up, to throw down every plan of the enemy and to build us up in faith. Thank you so much again. Yes, there's something that is, I don't know if I'm the only one, but it's so unique. Anytime, any situation that confronts me, there's always a word that the Lord will give to me. And I will hold on to that word. And the Lord will come through because of that word. You know, I will just hold on to the end. And the Lord will just give me victory, you know, concerning any matter. You know, it will just, I will just latch onto it. And as soon as he gives me that word, I know that victory is on the horizon, that I will see victory. If I don't get that word, I begin to search, say, Lord, what is the word that you have for me? What is that word that I'm going to hold on to that's going to help me? Sometimes it could be a dream that the Lord will show me the end of the matter. It could be anything that's, and we just, especially his word that I will hold on to. And with that, I just knew that I have the victory because he is able to give me that word, give me that push, you know, into the water, just like the woman and just like the lame man got pushed, you know, got Jesus instead of an angel pushing him to the water. So that's my testimony, that the Lord always come through, always have my back. And I thank him. And I know he has a lot of people like that because I'm not the only one. I know he has the back of everyone in this room. And he has a special way that he deals with each and every one of us. And so we're in our own unique way, special to him. And he knows how to deal with us. So I thank you again for this room, for the confidence that we have built up in the word of God. Glory and honor be to his name. Amen. I will mute my mic. God bless you. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, God bless you. The word always empowering her, she said, you know, to believe that God will save that day in every situation. Thank you so much for sharing. I'll go to Sister Julia. God bless you.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, everybody. I'm just going to make it really short this morning. One thing I want to say is, you know, I wrote down while you were speaking, sir, you know, when our backs are against the wall and it looks like it's over, he always makes a way. There's a song like that. And it's just the truth about the Lord. And all the stories are just wonderful reminders of the God we serve, his faithfulness and his truth. You know, in my life, many times, I don't even get to those spots so often. Usually when I'm going through something, God shows up. He shows up once in a while, like recently. Yep, got to where my back was really against the wall. But there's something within me. We have proved him over and over to the point now that even when I can't feel or see it, I still know that he will show up, and he has never failed yet. And I know he will never fail. So he's faithful. The God whom we serve is faithful. And all this word this morning is an encouragement and a reminder that he will never leave us comfortless. He always will show up. And I just thank God for who he is, true to his name and true to his word. You know, he never leaves us comfortless. Even the people, as the story was, you know, Samson, even as he failed, you know, revealed his secret and all whatnot, even though God said not to, he did. And, you know, if God were man, he would say, oh, well, that's your problem. You got yourself in that mess. But God is not man. He will still show up. You know, the thief on the cross and all that story this morning just shows the graciousness of God, which is just beautiful to see and to experience. So I just thank God for who he is. I worship him this morning because of who he is. A faithful, a true God indeed. A good father. That's who he has been to me. And I thank him. He always shows up. He has never left me comfortless. And since I joined this army of the Lord, I have never been disappointed one day. I could testify of God's graciousness, his goodness, and he always shows up. Praise the Lord, and thank you, sir. Thank you, everybody, for being in this room this morning. We are blessed yet once again by the word of God. I'm going to yield the mic. God bless you all.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Buki. God bless you. And thank you for being here again. Thank you for that powerful declaration of your assurance, your steadfast assurance, you know, because of all of his faithfulness over your life, you know, drawing upon that to know that he will never fail nor forsake you. And that's the story. God always has one more move and he will never leave us. Hallelujah. Yeah, and you mentioned that there is a song like that. I'm thinking of it too. And if you remember that song, sing it. You know, when our backs are against the wall. Yeah, I know there's a song like that. You know, I'd love to hear that song again before the room is over. Sister Pearl, good to see you. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. God bless everyone. I'm unable to speak at this time, but I just wanted to greet everybody and thank you for the word. It was awesome.
Praise the Lord, Pearl. You have a blessed day, and God bless you. Thank you for being here. She can't speak at the moment, but thank you for being here. And thank you for those posting those scriptures. God bless you. Even the one that I didn't specifically quote, she was able to find them and post them out there. Amazing job. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. It's all in the chat room, and people can go back and catch it during the replay. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Pastor Julius, God bless you. Welcome, man of God. How are you doing this afternoon? I know it's afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. Good afternoon. It's amazing. It's amazing. The word of God has come powerfully. We thank God for the word, and I thank God for this room also. And God has always been faithful to all of his children. And the devil can never box a child of God to a tight corner. Anytime a child of God cries unto the Lord will surely answer. You have cited a lot of instances in the Bible, how God came in, where people are even in precarious situation, and they thought that all is over, and God will just come in immediately, and then the problem will be solved. So a lot of instances you have cited in the Bible, and God is still doing the same thing up to today for any child of God who cries unto him. So many instances, even in our contemporary history, where people cried unto the Lord, very serious and very pitiable situations, and then as we cry unto the Lord and call upon him on that situation, the Lord will just come immediately and solve the problem. And he will always be faithful. And once I appreciate the word of God that came powerfully, and it's, the Lord will continue to bless this room and the man of God in Jesus' name. Over to you, sir.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining, you know, and we're glad to have you here. And congratulations again on your recently celebrated, was it 12-year anniversary or something for your ministry?
Yes, it's 12-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
thank you. And thank you for the support and your prayers.
Thank you for the work that you are doing there. God bless you.
We thank God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, our punchlines for today are, number one, when God is in the situation, it is not over yet. number two, the devil can never checkmate you when God is with you, because God will always have yet one more move. Number three, God holds the trump card. That's right. It's like an ace up his sleeve. When the devil thinks that he got you where he wants you, God says no. He swoops in to save that day. And a lot of stories we share today to encourage us to know that God is still with us. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're going to spend the next few minutes just declaring. I want everybody to make powerful declarations for themselves. Stand in this victory of the Lord, that you know the assurance of his word. You know, even when Herod had Peter in prison, supposing to bring him out and to kill him like he did James, through the prayers of the church, God had one more move to pull him out of there. And I experienced something like this many years ago. Some of you have heard the testimony. We had someone that was being prepped for sacrifice, whom her parents had sold her soul to the devil, and was being prepped in some satanic temple for sacrifice. And they had chains around her hands, her ankles, and her loins, and shaved her head, and nobody could set her free. And it seemed as if all hope was lost. But the church continued to pray. Even I myself went there, tried to set her free. I could not. And, you know, they warned me that the next time I came in there, they were going to have my head with a machete. You know, so we left, couldn't set her free and everything. And she had no memory of anything. Yet one day, I was sitting in my dorm room, you know, many, many miles away. She was being held in some weird place in Lagos. And I was over here in Ibadan. These are cities in Nigeria. Many places apart. I mean, many miles apart. Maybe 100 miles or so. And the next day, I know, there's a knock on my door. And I open, and she's standing right there. And I'm like, how did you get here? I'm abbreviating the story because I want to pray. And she told an incredible story, just like Acts chapter 12. The last time I was standing in front of her, trying to free her from that place, she didn't even remember who I was. Yes, she knew who I was before then, but they had wiped her memory, prepping her for the sacrifice. And she said, well, one night, well, that was the night before, that she just saw this bright figure in front of her, and her chains fell off. And I saw those chains. And the figure said, follow me. You know, and that was God's one more move. They were just about to put her up for the sacrifice. And she'd been there many days. And it was just ready, almost time for go the sacrifice. And the angel of the Lord, she didn't know it. It was like she was in a trance. Follow me. And the gates opened up to them. And I've seen those gates. They were like 15 feet high. They threw me out of those gates and said, if you ever come back here, I will kill you. Yeah, you know. So she went, and this camp was like 2 miles into the bush. Followed this thing, maybe a mile or more, but far into the bush. Went to the main road. The figure giving instruction for somebody, public transport to carry her, gave them instructions of where to bring her, you know, right to the place where I was, a town that was almost 100 miles away. And gave instructions of what to do. And not only when she got there, she had to come to the third floor or so where I was. I wasn't even on the floor. She didn't know my room. She didn't know where I was. Angel of Lord guided her right there. You know, one more move. And I said, wow. And I almost fell over. But I remembered Acts chapter 12. And I said that God swooped in to save the day one more time. Oh my goodness. Now lift up your voice and begin to thank the Lord in here this morning. Thank the Lord for his uncanny ability to pull out the ace at the last moment. When the enemy got you backed into a corner, he thinks. And when he thought, yeah, I got you right where I want you, God said, no. Hallelujah. And he will save that day. He always does. And he will never leave you. The Lord said in Deuteronomy 31 verses 6 and 8, the Lord your God, it is he that doth go before you. You know, fear not. He will be with you and he will not fail you. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. Glory to God. And no matter what situation you are in, say, I will be with you. When you are passing through the fires, it will not kindle upon you. When you are passing through the floods, Isaiah 43 and 2, it will not overwhelm you. I will bring you out. I will pull you out of there. And glory to God, he always does. So Lord, we thank you this morning for everyone that's believing you for some situation that they are in right now. The word of the Lord and the word of encouragement has gone forth for us to know that when you are in it, in that situation with us, it's not over yet. You know, no matter the setbacks, you know, every setback for you today, here's the last punchline. God will turn it around for a greater comeback. Every imagination of the devil against you, in the name of Jesus, we command it to come crashing down in Jesus' name. We pull down strongholds, the tokens of liars, the gazers, the peepers, the mutterers. In the name of Jesus, we come against them. That God will confuse their vision. God will confuse their voices. All the voices, the elements of darkness that are come against you in the spirit world. We're not fighting human beings, folks. These are spiritual warfares. The spiritual warfare, spiritual wickedness in high places that say you are not going to make it. You know, and they gather together, they shall surely fall. Because the Lord will scatter them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I saw and beheld Satan fall like lightning, Jesus said. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for coming in into our situation, staying in our situation, being in our situation, and saving that day. And may his saving grace, his saving strength, Psalm 67, thy saving help to all the people. Let God's saving grace appear more abundantly to you in your situation in the name of Jesus. And as you go through this day, lift up your head, O ye gates, for the King of glory is right here. Thank you, Jesus. Never mind the angel. Never mind the water today. Jesus said, I am right here. Glory to God. And let's not look to the left or the right, because vain is the help of man. But keep our eyes on the Lord. And he will never fail you. And he will never forsake you. The Lord bless every one of you into your day as you go about your day. Have a great and amazing day, knowing that he is with you. And it may not look quite like it yet. You know, it might be days that you've been backed up into the corner. But with this word of encouragement today, you know that God has one more move. You may not know what the move, he's not obligated to explain the move to you, but he will pull you out of there. Glory to God. And he will give you the victory. Hallelujah. Thank you everyone for joining us today. We will be back by the grace of God about the same time tomorrow. It'll be 4:15 a.m. Pacific time, and it'll be 7:15 a.m. Eastern time. And for you in Nigeria or in the UK, it'll be 12:15 p.m. We'll be back with another powerful room tomorrow. If you're not already following the House of Faith, please click the little greenhouse button at the top next to House of Faith and join. You will get notifications when we host this room. This room may be hosted under another platform called Walking with God. You know, so you will have to follow that as well, or follow me or Lady Ebon individually. If you follow us, then you'll get notifications when we host or open any rooms, no matter which platform we open it under. So that's it for today. And that's our room. And we are going to call it a wrap for this morning. And go in the strength of the Lord. Go in the courage of the Lord. Have a great and victorious day. And enjoy the confidence that the Lord is with you and that he will not fail you. And remember, keep the fire burning. That's our theme scripture all this month, is keep that fire burning. Leviticus 6:12-13. We must burn wood upon it every morning. Come back every morning, lay the wood in order again, get some more prayer fire, some more energy of the Spirit as you go through your day. God bless you all. This room will now close in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Thank you, Martin and Madonna, everyone, for joining. God bless you all, and Brother Kyle as well. Have a blessed day. Closing now.